Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, if you didn't know, now you know. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. I sound like that old used car commercial. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us. What you're going to hear is Husker sports, college football, sports in general. What you're going to get is unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Yep, that's right. It's a loaded show. Lots of notes, lots of things to talk about. We got the national championship game, the reffing, what in the world was going on. Great game. Phenomenal game. I was worried if Houston could even compete, and they looked like the flat-out better team. They led for over 59 minutes in that game, but not at the end. All right, we'll chat about that a little bit. Gino Auriemma. Hey, we have a clip from him, so we're going to play. How are you so good for so long, so dominant for so long? They aren't even, like, going undefeated through the season anymore, and that's kind of like a letdown. Oh, they're not undefeated. Oh, it must not be that good. Nope, they just keep winning national titles, knocking off number one seeds. We got a clip of his to play as well. You know, we haven't dug much into the Jordan versus LeBron debate, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on it today. I'm saving a lot of the NBA talk and the Major League Baseball talk and how I would fix college football. No, I haven't forgotten about that. Kept it priorities, ladies and gentlemen. For the summer, most college sports end, College World Series, early June, okay? Baseball, softball, we got stuff to talk about, track, everything else. Spring football. In the summer, what you've got is the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, and then there's kind of a lull when it comes to college sports, Husker sports. That's the perfect time to discuss how commissioner-to-be Adam Eugene Carriker. Did you know that was my middle name?
I did not.
I've always hated that middle
name. Is that really your middle name?
Yes. You're thinking mean things. You just don't want to say them.
No, that just sounds like a name that I would throw in there if I was going to make up a middle name.
I don't know what that means. Is that like a backhanded compliment or an in-your-face insult? I'm not sure. What? So I've never told people my middle name because when I was a kid, they'd make fun of me for it, and I got very sensitive about it. So I'll have you know that, Jake.
Oh, okay.
All right. How about Commissioner Adam Eugene Carriker would fix college football? All right. All those things will be this summer, but today we got the national championship game in college basketball. Gino Auriemma, Jordan versus LeBron. That's what I was getting to with that whole diatribe. I randomly came across this clip. All right. I always thought the Jordan versus LeBron debate was absolutely ridiculous. You know, for 20 years, they were doing this when LeBron was in his 20s. I'm like, this is so stupid. You got to fill time on air, don't you? ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, everybody else over there. I was like, okay. It's still kind of ridiculous because LeBron's not done. And the answer to me is pretty obvious. But I came across this clip. It's an argument that I have not heard made in this way. So we're going to play it. We'll discuss it. But we can revisit it more in the summer. We can revisit it more, frankly, when LeBron retires and we have a full resume to compare to a full resume. Kent Pavelka, longtime Nebraska basketball announcer over the years, one of the legends in this business, is going to join us at 11:30. All right. Then we're going to talk about the top of the hour. Dane Key. Give a Dane Key update. Emma Johnson update. 2 minutes. Being prioritized quite a bit. Quite a bit. I do think, here's my prediction with the offense. We're going to start out all pro style and nicey-nice and what we're supposed to do. I'm not even sure what that means. What we've been told we're going to do, which is this pro style offense, and eventually Holgorsen's going to roll out there with like 3 and 4 wide receivers, what he really wants to do. Because, first of all, we have the personnel to do it. I hope we have the quarterback to do it. If we have time to throw, I think it's just eventually going to happen, or it's going to happen at times, in particular in two-minute situations. So Emmett Johnson, Dane Key updates, and a whole bunch of other things as well. All right. Right off the top, the national championship game, Houston, Florida, men's Final Four championship. Man, Houston was like, I felt like I was watching the Houston Duke game in reverse. Like, Duke was just ahead that entire game, ahead the entire game. And like I said, I think it was yesterday, they never could just pull away. Like, it just felt like that game was on the verge of a blowout the entire time, but they could never just turn it into a blowout, which meant Houston was hanging around. Boom, Houston comes back in the last few minutes. They win. I was concerned going into yesterday's game whether that game would be close or not. Now, Houston, again, is the number one defensive team in the country. They have the number one overall rated defensive player in the entire country as well. So to me, that meant maybe they could keep it close. But I was like, man, I think Florida's better than Duke, and Duke about ran them off the court. Houston looked like the better basketball team for 59-plus minutes last night. Frankly, outplayed them. And who's the Gators' top player? Remind me. There, Jake. You talked about it yesterday.
Clayton. Yeah, Will Clayton.
Clayton, excuse me. Dude, their double teams were phenomenal. He had, 1 point at halftime? And they were stifling. At one point, both teams were combined 0-13 from three-point range. And about 10 minutes to go in the first half, the Gators had 6 turnovers. Houston had 0. Like, that Houston defense was stifling. The game plan that Kelvin Sampson, the Houston head coach, came up with was phenomenal. Double-teaming Florida's best player. Bill Belichick always said, you want to beat somebody really good, take away what they do best and make them beat you in a different area that they're not used to having success in. And that's exactly what Houston did. They made somebody else beat them. Now, at the end of the game, Florida ended up winning, but I tell you what, it was a great game plan. All right, Jake. So Florida ends up winning 65-63. Great championship game. Great season for Houston. Great season for Florida. Two best teams in the country, regardless of how I felt Duke looked versus Houston. Houston scored more points. That's all that matters in that game. The two best teams in the country. By the way, I also have this theory, because conference realignment is not done. It may just be put off for a few years, 2031. I keep pointing to that year. But there's going to come a time when the Big Ten and the SEC try to take all the Big 12 teams and the ACC teams, and the ACC won't exist, and the Big 12 probably will. I think the Big 12 needs to go after all the basketball powerhouses and just become the number one basketball conference in America. Like, get Duke. I don't think the SEC and Big Ten want Duke. They want North Carolina. And NC State's kind of a, I can dive more into why in the summer, but they're going to, wherever North Carolina goes, NC State's going to go. It's because of all the tie-ins with the board and everything else. They're not going to want 3 schools from Carolina coming in. So grab Duke. UConn's not in the Big 12, are they? I know they were in the AAC after the Big East. They're not in the Big 12 yet, are they?
No, they were like, there was like a close to a marriage, but I don't think it came through.
Dude, think about Duke in the Big 12. Think about UConn, men's and women's in the Big 12. Think about what the Big 12 already has, which is Houston and normally Kansas, easily one of the 8 blue bloods in college basketball. Actually ranked in baseball. We're going to play them in baseball this week. Kansas is number 22 in American baseball. The Huskers are going to take them on. But I've always thought the Big 12 should just go after all these basketball powerhouse schools that the Big 10 and SEC aren't going to be as interested in and just become the number one basketball conference in America. The Big 12 was represented very well, winning national titles recently, getting to the Final Four recently. Houston, 3 straight years, they've been a number one seed in their own right. All right, Florida ends up winning the game. What are your thoughts here, Jake?
Well, it was somewhat of an ugly game. I'll put it that way.
It was.
There was some really good dunks in there. I was impressed by Houston's ability to get up. Kind of took you back. But it was kind of interesting because both these teams were just, whether it was that Duke game or we just seen Houston's run, Florida's run, against UConn, they had to come back. These teams were just very clutch on their way to the championship game. And then the championship game comes around. In the final 2 minutes of that was somewhat messy.
I mean, somewhat.
Give Florida credit for coming back in. They end up taking a lead on some free throws, on some fouls. Houston doesn't even get a shot up in the final 2 possessions. That last one's especially going to hurt.
Final three possessions.
Well, in any case, I understand at that point that the final shot he thought might have been blocked or heavily contested. You got to get something up with 3 seconds left. It was interesting. Like you said, Houston kind of led this whole way, but the 3-point shooting kind of combined with Houston had 5 assists the entire game.
Mm. That's not good, if you're wondering.
That's really rough. I don't know how many
That's really
games,
rough.
There's not a lot of basketball games or teams that would expect to win, much less a championship game with five assists. So their offense was just as good as their defense was. Their offense was quite ugly at times and a lot of that throughout the game. So it was kind of interesting, but I do think you're right. I think we had two of the best schools, two of the best teams here this year. You got to give the people that put this together a lot of credit, the selection committee, all number one seeds going to the Final Four. That means they were right. I still think Duke might have been the most talented team this year, but we just saw how it played out here. Florida now the only school in NCAA to have three college football championships and three college basketball championships.
Is Florida basketball now a blue blood? Because you brought that up yesterday that some people were like, oh, if they win again, they're a blue blood. Now, are they a blue blood?
I wouldn't go as far to say blue blood, but they are close, right? The three college part of the blue blood thing is that you've done it for, you know, like UConn could break in because they've just won five titles since like 1999.
Yeah, it's crazy.
At some point, you're just like, okay, that's enough titles. You're a blue blood. But Florida has three since 96. So it's kind of interesting. Well, excuse me, three since 06. Three college football championships since 96. So both in football and basketball, while they have while they're the only school to win three in each, they've done it somewhat recently. So again, blue blood kind of depends on how you want to look at it, but they tie Villanova with the eighth most titles of all time. Is Villanova a blue blood? You kind of get into that discussion. The teams ahead of them definitely are in the championship list. The only teams ahead of them are Kansas with four titles, Indiana and Duke with five titles, North Carolina and UConn with six, Kentucky with eight, and UCLA with 11. So if they're not a blue blood, they are knocking on the door as much as anybody.
Are they a blue blood in football?
Again, I wouldn't quite go blue blood, knocking on the door.
So while you were talking, first of all, a couple of your points, I thought you made some good points. You know, if we have chaos in the NCAA tournament, which is what people really want, that's what people want from the NCAA. When I think of the March Madness, it's not called March Madness because you want all the higher seeds to win, like the number one, two, three, and four seeds. You want chaos, okay? You want McNeese to actually not just win the first round, upset Purdue, get in the Sweet 16. Ah, here we go. This is fun. But the converse of that, because people are like, oh, no upsets, no nothing. But when you get chaos, then you're like, oh, the committee's a bunch of idiots. They don't know what they're doing. Now the committee gets it right. Now we whine there's no chaos. So they just can't get it right, can they, Jake? Whether they get it right or get it wrong, they just can't get it right. It doesn't matter. Duke, to your point, was not only probably the most talented team, they were the tallest team as well, all right, in the entire NCAA tournament. You think about college football blue bloods. As you were writing, or as you were talking, I was writing, and I'm missing somebody. So here are the ones I came up with for college football blue bloods, and I think it's pretty easy in basketball who the blue bloods are. You pretty much listed them from UCLA to Indiana, Kentucky to Kansas and North Carolina. I think UConn's got to be on there now as well. Who else was right ahead of Florida?
So Kansas, Indiana, Duke, North Carolina, UConn, Kentucky, and UCLA, yeah.
Duke, and I don't know if I said Kentucky. Yeah, so there's your eight in basketball. I think Florida's like knocking on the door just outside, okay? All right, so in football, I've got USC, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Notre Dame, Nebraska, gag me you. Who am I missing?
Oklahoma.
Ooh, there's the eighth. Okay. I knew there was eight, and I'm like, I can only think of... I thought of gag me you and not Oklahoma. What the heck is wrong with me today? All right. So, because there's eight blue buds. So, Florida, you have just on the outside. Miami, just on the outside. Florida, all those three Florida schools, just on the outside. What about like a Penn State or a tennis... Penn State. Would they be a blue blood, or they need more titles overall, I would think.
Yeah, and, you know...
They've got two,
I think,
I believe.
Penn State, as much as anybody's knocking on the door in the football discussion, so I'd put them there. Obviously, you know, different ways to look at that, how that program got to that level to begin with. But I always look at Penn State and Tennessee kind of knocking at the door, and I think you got to put Georgia, who has three total titles in the last couple of years, is starting to knock on that door, too. Still would hold off on calling them a blue blood, but I think they're kind of one of the up and, you know, kind of the movers as of late.
So for years, I remember there was an 11-year stretch where Florida beat them 10 out of 11 years. Like for years, in fact, when I was interviewing Goldberg one time and I mentioned, you're just Florida's little brother. He got pissed. He did not react well to that on the interview. Dude, he did not like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly the reaction I wanted, by the way. Because we were doing like a wrestling type show. So it was supposed to be a little bit of a promo battle. He insulted me in some way. And I was like, all right, you're nothing more than just Florida's little brother. Don't give me that crap. And then it was fun. And he got mad. And then it was more fun for me, not so much for him. But my point is simply this. I've always seen Florida as just above Georgia, okay? And if Florida's just outside the blue blood, I always saw Georgia just below there because they were missing the championships and the ability to beat Florida. Now they've beaten Florida and they've got the championships too, right?
Three total. Yeah.
Three overall. Go back to 1980, right? Or was it 80 or 82?
I believe it was 80.
It was 80 because Penn State won in 82. That's right. Okay. And then they also upset Miami and Vinny Testaverde in 88 in that Fiesta Bowl. That was Notre Dame. Which year was the Fiesta Bowl with Penn State and Notre Dame? Was that 87? Because in 88, Miami won the Catholic versus Convicts game. Or Notre Dame won that game. And then they ended up winning the national title. I think it was the 87 year. And they won the Fiesta Bowl that year. I don't know if it still is. But up until the college football playoff era started, that Fiesta Bowl, that 1-versus-2 matchup, Miami-Penn State, was the most viewed bowl game of all time. I have not updated it since college football playoff started in 2014, but I know up until then it was. I always looked at Georgia, and I was like, you're just below Florida, and Florida's just outside. Now, they're above Florida. And they're also, they're beating Florida. They got, you say, three titles. Florida has three as well. Is that correct? Yeah. Do you know the last school? It's going to be easy because I literally just said their name. The last school to win a national title for the first time. Give me the year. It was Florida. Can you give me the year?
That would have been 96.
96. They're the last school to win a national title for the first time. Everybody else is now repeat, or they've done it before since 1996, which I thought was a very random yet interesting stat. So now they have matched Florida. So to me, they're right there with Florida, just outside that blue blood. Because that's where, like you said, the consistency over time has to step in. That's what's helped Nebraska. For 20 years, we haven't played like a blue blood, okay? But for 40-plus years, we did something nobody else did do, which is win nine games or more. So it's that consistency, sustained success over time. And I think Georgia is knocking on the door because they are the preeminent college football program in the country right now, and they probably have been for like 5 years, all right? All right, any final thoughts on this? Oh, the whole ref thing. It was interesting. My wife was pretty fired up because all of a sudden the refs started calling way more. Houston was kind of owning Florida with their defense. As ugly as the game was, you got to understand, you're going to score 65 points and play god-awful on offense just like Florida did and win the national title. So to me, if you have a bad night offensively, I couldn't care less in basketball. I don't give a crap about these half-court threes, fancy dunks I love. I'm more interested in the guy who chases somebody down and gets the block, which Houston did. Or you get multiple blocks, or a guy's going up for a dunk and he gets stuffed by the defender. I get entertained by that. Oh, another basket made. Okay, cool. All right. I want to see something else that you don't see all the time. So an ugly basketball game is fun for me to watch because that adds elements that I don't always see every game that I watch in my entire life outside of elementary school basketball. So for me, that's part of the reason I thought it was so entertaining was because there was nerves in the beginning. Terrible shooting, great defense. It was kind of ugly, and that made it entertaining for yours truly. I don't know. Do you enjoy that in basketball, or you just want all the fancy smancy stuff?
I like high level basketball. Football, I love a 6-9 football game. Those are that's kind of the opposite. So I like that in football. In basketball, it always comes back to me when there's this one friend that does it. He'll walk into the room and he'll just like bring me down. I'm all watching college basketball. Within 2 minutes, he doesn't know the difference. But he can see the difference, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those where it's like, this is the best that college basketball has to offer. And I know if he walked in the room, he could tell me, oh, this is college, isn't it? Yeah, this is college. It doesn't quite look like the pros. But so I prefer, a better game, but it doesn't always happen. And so sometimes you gotta fight those out.
Your words, high level, better game. Mine was fancy smancy, more entertaining. See how we view things a little bit differently there when it comes to basketball. My wife got pretty fired up because at a certain point, all of a sudden, the refs did. They did. They started calling the game differently. Within 9 seconds in the second half at a certain point, Houston had three fouls called on them. And all of a sudden, they weren't allowed to be. It's like they started calling the game in a completely different way. Instead of letting them play, all of a sudden, they were calling everything. And then that dramatically affected and impacted Houston. And the conspiracy theorist in me was like, oh, got to have the SEC win. Here we go. Is there anything to that? Or am I just too anti-SEC? And I'm really not that anti-SEC at this point. What I am is pro-honesty. And I feel like their ego is so big, they can't fit their fat head through a room. And I like poking holes in it. By the way, it allows them to fit their fat head in the room once I poke holes in it. So it's not anti-SEC. It's pro-honesty and pro-accountability. But is my pro-honesty, pro-accountability, anti-SEC bias reigning a little too supreme here for my own conspiracy theorist head here?
I would say probably, I mean, again, the refs can do all they want to if Houston had a chance to get a couple shots up and they didn't at the end. So I don't think they completely swung the game there. And, you know, but I do think there is something more to that. Years and years ago, it used to be, you know, the ESPN's College Game Day is giving too much coverage to the SEC. And we're all under this umbrella that college football, like, worked as a whole. We understood the SEC and the Big Ten had, like, more attention on it. And like fan bases that cared a little bit more, but post COVID and into this new era, NIL, all that stuff, there's a clear separation between the SEC and the Big Ten and everybody else. So now I think there's a little bit more to that conspiracy, because I do think that played a factor in Florida State not making the college football playoff 2 years ago, absolutely undefeated, because they had to get an SEC team in there, not simply because it was Alabama, but because the SEC is the money league. And so I think there's something a little bit more to that conspiracy, though. I've always been a little bit, I enjoy the SEC. I'll put it that way.
I guess we can still be friends, even though you said you enjoy the SEC. I will say this, as a conference as a whole, the SEC has as passionate of fans when it comes to football as any conference in the country. Like I said, they're a good conference. I'll give them their due. It's when they walk around like they're the NFL of college football, or they're just the greatest thing that God's ever created. That's when I'm like, all right, just sit down and shut up, because I'm tired of that crap, because it's not true to that level. There's a certain level. Like again, Creighton can go to the Final Four, then that's enough. All right, the SEC is good, but let's not go too far. That's enough of that crap. All right. Should we play Gino's clip real quick before we head into break and call Kent Pavelka?
Yeah, let me... Oh, man.
Or maybe
on the other end here.
Or we can go to break and call Kent and play the clip.
Yeah, let's do it that way, because I don't see it right in front of me.
Jake's unprepared?
That's right.
That's right.
I have to fall on the sword on this. This was me.
No, you're good. You're good. I tend to send him stuff, like, it's usually about like 90 minutes before the show, clips I want to play, but he's a busy, busy man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we will chat with the legendary Kent Pavelka. After that, we will play a couple of clips. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.